Good afternoon, everyone. I call this meeting of the Senate Education Committee to order. It's 3:30 p.m. on Monday, January 30th. We are in the Belch Committee Room in the Tom Stewart Building in the state capital of Juneau. I want to make sure everyone has their cell phones on mute, as we have some really great testimony lined up for today. Also, when testifying, if you could please clearly state your name and affiliation for the record. Members present are Vice Chair President Gary Stevens, Senator Bjorkman, Senator L.B. Gray Jackson, myself, Senator Lukey Tobin, and I hope we will be joined by Senator Jesse Keel here shortly. Let the record reflect, we have a quorum to conduct business. Please allow me to extend my thanks to our moderating LIO, for our Juneau LIO moderator today, Sydney Truitt, and also Mary Gwen, for recording today's meeting. Thank you, Senator Keel, for joining us. So first on our agenda, we'll be taking invited testimony from a few folks here in Alaska who can speak to the challenges facing public education in Alaska. Our first invited testifier is Dillingham City School District Superintendent Amy Brower. She is online. Superintendent Brower, I know that you are flying back to Dillingham today, so I hope that you can hear us and that we are coming loud. We're coming through loud and clear. Could you please identify yourself for the record and begin your presentation when ready?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Amy Brower, Superintendent of Dillingham City School District. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today. I am here to share my experience of the challenges facing public education in Alaska and the effects of flat funding on education in rural, remote Alaska. I'm here to show my support for a significant increase to the BSA this year and the perpetual annual rate of inflation increases thereafter. The flat funding of education for the past 6 years means that education dollars have not kept up with even the inflation rate. We all know that Alaska is experiencing this year a 40-year high inflation. Each dollar we get in funding today purchases less than that dollar purchased in 2017, the year of the last BSA increase. Plain spoken, we have lost purchasing power. While schools have received flat funding for the past 6 years, the cost of doing business has increased year over year, especially with fixed costs out of our control. Schools have had to cut services and scramble to meet the needs of students. If we are going to improve education for Alaska students, we first must account for inflation in both the BSA and transportation funding. And we need an additional boost in order to move us forward, ensuring an excellent education for every student every day. As a superintendent in two different rural remote school districts off the road system in Alaska for the last few years, I have had to make the hard decisions to cut teacher positions, eliminate support services, and restructure critical programming. Rural teachers work incredibly hard to provide outstanding educational opportunities for students in multi-grade, multi-subject classrooms with little to no support and limited or outdated curricula and materials. Please note that we struggle to find money to purchase new curricula, materials, or equipment in the current foundation budget. Superintendents across the state have to make the tough decisions on how to continue to fund classroom instruction while rising costs of healthcare, transportation, utilities, shipping, and supplies make larger impacts on an already limited budget. Just funding fixed cost items is becoming a challenge. In Dillingham, health insurance costs have increased between 13 and 18% each year. We are expecting a 16% increase for FY24. The fuel cost this year has almost doubled, impacting our transportation, housing, quality of living, shipping, and food program costs. School athletics and student activity are often the first to be impacted. The increase in these fixed costs has put a strain on all school budgets. Dillingham, along with most schools in the state, is facing a financial cliff at the end of FY24 when federal COVID funds expire. We will currently have to find funding for 4 full-time positions, as well as student services like online academic support programs and alternative credit recovery programs. The expiration of these funds will leave Dillingham with a $278,000 deficit. Over the last 6 years of flat funding in the foundation, the transportation funding has also remained flat. We can all agree that we have a duty to safely transport our students, yet the additional transportation cost has now moved to an already short-funded foundation budget. Dillingham is currently subsidizing our transportation funding with over $60,000 annually from our foundation fund, and we expect to have an even larger number next year. In addition to these challenges, teachers are leaving not only the teaching profession, but they are leaving rural Alaska in droves. This year alone, I had three teachers resign in December at the end of the semester. And while there were secondary reasons given, the primary issue was the expense and condition of housing and lack of livable wages. I have been only able to fill one of those positions. The other two, a special education teacher and an interventionist, are left open, leaving some of our most vulnerable students without adequate support. Many rural teachers live without the common amenities found in most professional homes, including reliable, affordable internet, the ability to provide basic needs for their families, affordable groceries, or even the luxury of just being able to go out to dinner. When I moved to Dillingham in July of this year, I spent 5 weeks living in the school in a room at the school with my family with no hot water. When teachers and staff reported to work the middle of August, we had 9 teachers and their families living in their classrooms while looking for housing. Some of those families were in the school until mid-October, living in a classroom, sleeping on an air mattress with nowhere to relax, affect teachers and administrators' ability to provide high-quality education to students. The need for adequate teacher housing across the state of Alaska is growing and imperative. We must address this issue across rural and remote Alaska. Alaska's teachers are dedicated to Alaska students, but we must provide livable wages and conditions as well as robust retirement plans to get teachers to come and remain in Alaska. Lack of funding also affected the experience and education level of the teachers I have been able to hire and retain. Teachers who come to rural Alaska stay for a few years and leave with the experience that will allow them to make more money in places with much easier living conditions. Budget constraints also mean that small rural districts are quite often limited to hiring teachers on the lower end of the pay scale. This means that students in rural Alaska experience high teacher turnover and many inexperienced teachers. This directly impacts students' education outcomes and their future dreams. We know that if we can stabilize funding with predictable, adequate budgets, student outcomes are positively affected. First day teacher vacancies this year were at an all-time high across the state. Dillingham started our first day of school with 6 certified positions opened and an additional 5 teachers on emergency certificates having no teaching experience or training. 4 of these 5 positions were in the hard-to-fill critical areas of math and science. As of today, I currently have 6 emergency certified teachers trying to help students meet the learning standard while they are still learning how to teach. The additional work of school administrators to support these teachers has left gaps in leadership in those buildings. Flat funding of school budgets has also left schools without enough classified staff. Because private business and government jobs often pay 1.5 to 2 times more than a school's classified pay scale, it is difficult to fill these positions. This year alone, at any given time, Dillingham has had at least 5 classified job positions open. The impact to school operations, student learning, and safety is immeasurable. While the BSA increase in the Alaska READS Act is appreciated, and we fully support early education and the importance of our students reading, it is not enough. Due to enrollment losses, Dillingham will have to make up more than $150,000 in FY24, even with the increase to the BSA, which adds only between 30 and 40,000 to our FY24 projections. This additional money does not even begin to cover the increased cost for transportation from the last 7 years. Senators, I urge you to act in the best interest of all students across the state, not only providing an increase in the BSA and transportation funds to cover the inflation rate, but a significant increase for FY24. Additionally, I ask you to please consider that you add, at a minimum, perpetual increases to match the inflation rate each and every year so that we don't find ourselves here again in crisis. Thank you for your time and the opportunity to testify on these critical issues.
Thank you so much, Superintendent Brower. Are there any questions from the committee? Thank you so very much. We really appreciate your time. Oh, Senator Stevens.
Thank you, Superintendent. Just a question I've asked of others. Are you able to do anything, or can you help us here in sort of growing your own and getting local folks to go into education and become teachers? Is there anything you're doing specifically to encourage that to happen in your district?
So through the chair, first of all, Senator Stevens, thank you so much for asking that question. I actually am very proud to let the committee know that through the efforts of my amazing grant writer and the leadership of my leadership team, we were able to secure a United States Department of Education Full Service Community Schools grant. It was awarded in December, and a large part of that, one of the projects on that is an early childhood education program that we will be able to use in conjunction with the funds from the Alaska Reads Act to create an early education program for our small children. But an additional component to that is in fact a CTE component for a Grow Your Own program through that grant. So we have, we're starting to build partnerships with, through our, the Bristol Bay Regional Career Technical Education Consortium and other districts in the region to create a CTE program that will be a part of a Grow Your Own effort in our district.
Well, that's great to hear. Thank you so much, Superintendent Bauer.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Superintendent Brower. We really appreciate you joining us today. Next up, for our second invited testifier for today, we have Sandy Thompson Wallace, who serves as the president of the Alaska Public Employees Association and the State Federation for the American Federation of Teachers. She is joining us from Teams.
Good afternoon. Can you hear me okay?
I think we're going to turn up the volume a tiny bit. Just hold on real quick as we have someone come over for that. Ms. Thompson-Wallace, if you could please identify yourself and put yourself on the record and your affiliation and begin your presentation at your convenience.
Thank you. Sandy Thompson-Wallace, President, Alaska Public Employees Association, and President of Totem Association of Educational Support Personnel in Anchorage. Good afternoon, Chair Tobin, Vice Chair Stevens, and members of the committee. I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to address you this afternoon. My name is Sandy Thompson Wallace. I am in my 26th year as an employee of the Anchorage School District. I started as a temporary parent helper, a noon duty. I substituted for a year, and then I spent 8 years in a classroom as a paraprofessional educator working with special needs students in an elementary school. I transferred into the front office as an administrative assistant in that same elementary school, and then went on to a middle school as a registrar and an admin where I helped to open Stream Academy Charter School in Anchorage. I have been president of the Totem Association of Educational Support Personnel since 2019. Totem represents educational and administrative support staff in the Anchorage School District. We are classroom paraprofessional educators, pre-K through 12, tutors, front office staff that includes secretaries, registrars, and admins in both schools and departments across the district. TOTEM was founded by a group of committed secretaries in 1967 and now includes members from a wide variety of classifications. With over 1,100 employees, we are the largest school support staff union in Alaska. I also serve as a member to the Program and Policy Committee for the Paraprofessional and School-Related Personnel Staff Division of our national affiliate, the American Federation of Teachers. In addition to my duties as the president of TOTEM, I also serve as the president of the Alaska Public Employees Association, which represents public employees in 24 different local unions across the state. These include the Anchorage Council of Education, which represents classified administrative staff in the Anchorage School District, the Valdez Federation of Teachers, the Juneau Education Support Staff, and the Petersburg District Support Professionals Union. Beyond our membership of education workers, APA members work in local and state government, the university system, and in several nonprofits. As parents, neighbors, district employees, and ultimately as citizens, every one of our members have a vital interest in the health and long-term success of our education system. In evaluating the current state of education, it is imperative that policymakers recognize that the educational team in our schools consists of more than just teachers and other certificated staff. It's paraprofessionals and front office staff. It's the bus driver and attendant who get our kids to school and home every day. The student nutrition workers who feed our students and may provide them with their only solid meal each day to keep them nutritionally sound. These are the voices that need to be heard and recognized. Our members are often forgotten in the funding discourse, but they and the work they do deserve respect. School support staff serve in a wide variety of roles across rural and urban Alaska. Paraprofessionals assist students one-on-one and in small groups, working side-by-side with students who experience physical, developmental, emotional, and behavioral disabilities and health challenges. Often the students our members serve require more than academic help, which means our members become informal social workers, mentors, or coaches to help address students' social and emotional needs, as well as helping them prepare for life beyond school. Special education paraprofessionals perform complicated medical duties for students who need them, such as assisting students with seizure disorders, dealing with tracheotomy sites, colostomy bags, feeding tubes, urinary catheterizations, and diabetic needs. Each student has with a disability has goals and objectives within their individualized education program, as required under the Federal Individuals with Disabilities Act. In many circumstances, students with disabilities will spend more time with their para than with their certificated teacher of record, and para educators provide one-on-one tutoring to help students through their classes. Without a doubt, our members play a vital role in each school district's federally protected obligation to provide fair and appropriate education to Alaska students with disabilities. School enrollment numbers are declining, but the students coming into the district are requiring more services, which means that there needs to be staff to meet those IEP hours. That is not happening as it should. In addition to paraeducators, school support staff can include custodians, who are jacks of all trades. They do not just push a mop and a broom. They keep school infrastructure intact and are tasked with maintaining the safety of all students and staff. This can be especially challenging in Alaska, where the combination of inclement weather, the long-term neglect of deferred maintenance, and poor funding means that custodians and maintenance staff must work creatively to keep our buildings clean, safe, and repaired. These trusted adults are also an example for students who may want to pursue a career in the skilled trades. Bus drivers and attendants are usually the first school personnel a student sees in the morning and the last at night. They frequently navigate under-maintained roads and, as we have seen recently in Anchorage, have had to contend with grievous vacancies, which have caused considerable disruption on the ability to do their work. In fact, the entire Anchorage community and economy was impacted by rolling bus shortages. Administrative assistants, secretaries, registrars, and other front office staff master specialized computer programs for schools to run effectively and efficiently. They ensure that attendance, state coding, and reporting of grades are timely and done properly. They enroll students, schedule activities, plan events, work the front office as a school's first line of defense, and are the first impression the community receives from the district. They are master multitaskers and are a critical support to teachers, administrators, students, and community. Like teachers, school support staff work because they care about our kids. Our members build long relationships with students. And prior to the vacancy crisis, it was not uncommon for our members to work decades, not only in the same district, but in the same school. Lack of livable wages and a defined benefit retirement system have only exacerbated this issue. Our members often spend their own money and make sacrifices to give back to the kids they work with, while making a fraction of teacher and administrator salaries. Often this includes buying a student's lunch out of their own pocket, bringing clothing, deodorant, toothpaste, snacks, and other necessities when students don't have it at home, and supplementing classroom supplies. An example of this was in December 2020, during that first winter of the COVID pandemic. The membership of the Juno Education Support staff banded together and paid off lunch balances of 564 students, totaling $7,446. Elizabeth White, a Jess member and meal cashier at Gastineau School in Douglas, said, "We've been able to see firsthand how this pandemic has affected some of our more vulnerable students, and this donation from Jess will make take at least one thing off the table that they will not have to worry about." She continued by saying she was pleased that Jess was able to donate to take care of the families that are close to our hearts. As schools struggle to hire staff across the board, the added challenges of COVID and flat funding of the base student allocation mean that school support staff are being asked to do more than ever, filling in to cover teachers in the classrooms, working through breaks and lunches, working outside of their job classification, and doing whatever is asked of them to make our schools a good learning environment for our students. For example, the last 2 years in the Anchorage School District and Totem have had a letter of agreement for their members to receive an additional $10 per hour when acting as the classroom teacher and or nursing staff, because there are not enough substitutes to cover not only the open positions, but also the everyday staff absences. I have people trying to cover two and three positions. Budgets get cut, staff gets cut, but the work doesn't go away. Our students and families still need to be taken care of and educated to the very best of our ability. Lately, that best hasn't been good enough, and we must do better. People are overworked and tired, morale is low, stress and anxiety are high. Despite this, our members and support staff around the state have risen to the occasion to make our schools run. It is not an over-exaggeration to say that without our members, schools in Alaska would not be able to function. We concur with nearly the entire educational community that the greatest crisis in our schools are facing are the two closely related and compounding issues of an effective cut to the BSA over the last 7 years and the failure of the legislature to offer a defined benefit retirement option to our members. Currently, there are approximately 700 vacant school support staff positions across the state. 56 in Juneau, 26 in Kodiak, 352 in Anchorage, 159 of those which are totem positions within the Anchorage School District, and 51 in the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District. Our members are most often paid hourly, with a median yearly salary of around $33,000 per year, according to the Federal Bureau of Labor Statistics. Many of our members are the primary breadwinner in their household, or are single parents or grandparents raising our students. Many of our members take home less than $3,000 per month and have seen monetary raises of 1 or 2% while weathering record inflation rates and increases to healthcare costs, which wipe out any benefit beyond that. If there is an additional increase to the BSA, we encourage you to ask school districts to prioritize some of that funding to offer support staff a living wage. Our lowest paid paraeducator in totem within the Anchorage School District makes $14.79 an hour, only works 9 months a year, and most of those folks are only 5.5 hours a day. That does not provide a living wage. In preparing for this testimony, I spent some time looking through what other starting wages are for other school support staff's jobs around the state. I've already mentioned totems in Anchorage. In Juneau, a behavioral assistant can expect to make $22.35 an hour with or without a college degree. However, they can expect to work often without insufficient training with students of challenging and sometimes violent behaviors. At the same time, in Juneau, a substitute teacher can bring in $25 an hour. In Kodiak, a school food service worker can expect $15.62 an hour, or they can head over to McDonald's on Thorsheim Avenue and make $18.50 an hour. In Anchorage, the starting wage for an assistant food service worker in their June 22 collective bargaining agreement is $13.05. School support staff generally are limited to 40 hours a week during the school year, and many without opportunity for overtime. So take-home pay is sometimes lower than similar jobs in the private sector. In one district, our support staff members took a cut in hours to 35 hours a week from 40 to make sure that other folks in their bargaining unit didn't lose their jobs when oil prices dropped and budget strain began to strain in 2014. Our members often have second and sometimes third jobs on evenings, weekends, and during school breaks. Considering the financial crunch school districts face, our members have been modest in their financial proposals at the bargaining table. Despite this, when we bargain with school districts, we consistently hear that their hands are tied by a flat-funded, low-based student allocation that has not kept up with inflation and a retirement system that is not within their control. So today I ask you to untie their hands. Untie their hands so that they can pay wages that our members can live on. Untie their hands by restoring a pension benefit that will allow our members hired after 2006 to work full careers in the schools and retire with dignity. Untie their hands by increasing initiatives to create professional pathways for our members to be able to grow and progress in their careers. Recently, the Alaska Association of School Boards resolved to advocate for a BSA increase of no less than $860. Today, we're asking you that increase be $1,100. Our members need your help, and our students and families deserve to attend schools that are robust and thriving. Again, thank you for the opportunity to bring testimony today and for listening to the voice of support staff in Alaska. Thank you.
Thank you so very much, Ms. Thompson-Wallace. Are there any questions from the committee? Thank you again so very much. We really appreciate you joining us and sharing that insight.
Thank you.
Back on the record here in Senate Education, we are going to start and open up our public testimony. It is my intent to give those providing public testimony up to 3 minutes. If you would rather submit public comments via email, you can do so by emailing senate.education@akleg.gov. The numbers to call to provide public testimony are conference telephone numbers in Anchorage, that's 907-563-9085. Here in Juneau, that's 907-586-9085. And others can use the toll-free number of 1-844-586-9085. I'm going to ask folks to remember to keep their comments civil and not to impugn the motives or the character of members of this committee or those in the Alaska State Legislature. I also apologize, as I am still learning, I would like to acknowledge that Representative Story has been here with us since the beginning. So now I'm going to open up public testimony. And we're going to begin with Sandy Ryan, the president of the Fairbanks Teachers Association, who is here in the room with us. Thank you for joining us today. If you could please identify yourself and put yourself on the record and begin your presentation when you are ready.
I always like to be the one that tests the mics. Can you hear me? Good morning, or good afternoon. Is that better? Thank you. Good afternoon, Chair Tobin, Vice Chair Stevens, and ladies and gentlemen. My name is Sandy Ryan. I am a 36-year high school mathematics and computer science teacher, 29 of those in Fairbanks. Currently, I have the pleasure of serving as the Fairbanks Education Association president. I have 155 days left. Oh, sorry. A couple of days ago, I overheard in the Anchorage airport some folks talking, and they were talking about art in Juneau. They were talking about school art in Juneau and how they were concerned that they might be losing art teachers, especially elementary. It made me start thinking about my kids when they went to school some 25 years ago and what they had to offer in Fairbanks and what isn't there now. We used to have art specialists. Art specialists would develop wonderful art kits, fantastic lessons that were taught by our classroom teachers as they left. They pushed into classrooms about four times a year, and kids were so excited for those art lessons. Those four times a year became about three times a year, and then they became just a development of the kits with the expectation that the generalist elementary teachers were able to do their job. And now we have no new kits because, you see, we have no art specialists at all left in Fairbanks. But maybe that's okay because maybe there's a way to pick it up because we had the Alaska Room, fantastic cultural opportunities for our students to go and get culture from our elders and to touch and feel Native crafts and really become a part of that. But, see, that's virtually gone, too. Well, maybe that's okay because maybe we can get some art appreciation through our music and band programs and our orchestra. Unfortunately, orchestra doesn't start now, starting this year, until middle school. So all that fantastic opportunity you had as a child to learn and torture your parents with that flute is now gone because the only people that will be able to get that are those that can pay to play. But that's okay. Remember, sports. No, we don't have those either because those are also pay to play. In order to do any sports in the Fairbanks North Scarborough School District, besides intramural sports, any kind of sports that you have teams, you're paying sometimes up to $300 and $400 to be on a football team or on a soccer team. So you don't have the opportunity for every child to get the very best. I want you to take just a second and think about when you were in elementary school. I'm kind of willing to bet you didn't go every day because you really wanted to learn those spelling words this week. That's usually not what drew us in. What drew us in was those crazy art projects that you made with the macaroni or the volcano that exploded or awful recorder music that you played around the house for hours and drove your parents nuts. All I ask is that you think about why you went to school and not have our students have to pay to play. Thank you.
Thank you so very much. We appreciate your comments here today. Next up, we have Amanda Johnson, who's a member of the MATSU classified staff. I believe she's here in the room with us. Thank you for joining us today, and please identify yourself for the record and begin your presentation when you are ready.
My name is Amanda Johnson. I'm a paraeducator and tutor advisor in the Mat-Su Valley with the Mat-Su Classified Education Association. Madam Chair and committee, thank you so much for allowing me this time. 27 5-year-olds, 37 to 38 8 to 9-year-olds, 38 to 40 16 to 18-year-olds, 15, and then 400. What are these numbers? These are the numbers that we live with on a daily basis. These are the numbers that schools are told to work with every day because you just have to deal with it. The first number is a kindergarten class. That 27, that's 27 5-year-olds that have never been to school before. They don't know how to sit in a chair for an extended period of time. Most of them have never been away from their person at home. Most of them don't know how to open up their lunches. And a lot of them don't even know that they need to close the door when they use the restroom. The second number is the number of students that was in my son's third grade classroom. That was 37 to 38. The transition between second to third grade is probably one of the largest transitions that one makes. That goes from addition and subtraction to multiplication and division. The teacher there had to remove the desks and they had to sit on the floor. Those are 8 and 9-year-olds. The third number, 38 to 40, those are the numbers of the students that sit in an art class. Those are 16 to 18-year-olds. That's a great number to sit in a small class. But that's not just for art. That's science and math and language arts. Those classes are overcrowded. That fourth number, 15, that's a behavior support program that consists of multi-grades, K through 5, with one teacher and two paraeducators. The last number is 400. That is the average number of students that a school counselor has on their caseload. The recommendation from the American School Counselors Association is no more than 250. These are the numbers that are the reality of the lives of our future. We don't need that. With your help to increase the BSA and not just that catch-up number of $860, with that, we can help them. But it's up to you to figure out what's going to happen next year, 5 years, 10 years, and so on. Thank you.
Thank you. We're going to move online as we have some folks who've been waiting before we get to more folks here in the room. Barbara Tyndall from North Pole, if you could please put yourself on the record and begin your presentation when you are ready.
Okay, Barbara Tyndall, and I reside in North Pole. I want to say good afternoon and thank you for this opportunity to testify to the Senate Education Committee concerning the funding for Alaska schools. And while I've been listening, I realize that inflation and lack of staff and lack of buses has been a huge issue. I also recognize that funding for education takes up much of the Senate budget, of the state budget, and it seems to get higher in spite of shrinking school population. And now, of course, like I said, with inflation, it's higher. I do not begrudge spending money for the education of our children and young people. What I object to is the quality of the services and products we Alaska citizens are receiving. And as special interests are lining up today to ask for their piece of the pie, I urge you to take a serious look at the products they are producing. Not everything that is funded is beneficial or even necessary towards educating our kids, although I heard some very important points today. To those asking for things like diversity training, mental health workers in our schools, I would say those things that should be addressed by families and not schools. We are academically behind in the nation because we spend time on things that are not actually academic, and right now there's a shortage of teachers and room. I had a friend many years ago, a teacher of excellence, who complained to me about the time cut from her day for things other than teaching. She taught sixth graders at the time and kept track of her actual teaching time over a 3-year period. At the end of those observations, she discovered that she averaged only an hour and a half a day of actual teaching time. And I think this is a study worth repeating today. We need to focus our tax dollars on boots-on-the-ground teaching staff and pull back from funding those things that can be supplied by families. Our schools have become veritable smorgasbords of services that have been imposed upon us. Parents can select these services from our communities if they so choose. Please examine these projects and programs carefully before you fund them, and let's get back to the business of teaching our children to read and write and stop trying to raise them. Teach them to think and analyze and become protective adults. I'm certain that would also lower much of our welfare budget. And I just thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. We're going to move on next to Jean Stone of the Lower Yukon School District. Jean, if you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your presentation.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and Senate Education Committee members. My name is Jean Stone, and I am the superintendent for the Lower Yukon School District. Thank you for providing the opportunity to advocate on school funding today. It's encouraging to hear that our legislative body has publicly shared they are going to work to address the current funding deficiencies that exist as a result of flat funding for education since 2017. As a school, as a rural school district, LYSC has seen costs soar in transportation, shipping, building materials, housing, school maintenance, labor costs, recruiting costs, fuel, and nutrition services costs. We have to supplement our food costs by $1 million a year. Our activities costs have increased by $500,000. Recruiting costs for teachers requires overseas recruiting now, along with the use of recruiters to address the existing teacher shortage. Many of our CIP projects don't end up making the cut for funding, so we as a district have to hope that there's a remaining fund balance at the end of the year to pay for inherited infrastructure issues. We recently have neared zeroing out our fund balance to pay for a tank farm project in Hooper Bay that cost the district $4.5 million. The BSA amount of $860 that was shared in the ADN recently as a starting point, that should be a minimum, I believe. And we can't attract teachers without adequate housing. Our students went through the COVID pandemic without access to internet. Our district is recognized as having one of the highest poverty levels in the country. We've been an innovative district, and we partnered with Anchorage School District to provide CTE opportunities. We paid for and renovated the old Longhouse Hotel so our students could have CTE opportunities that otherwise would not have been able to be funded if we tried to build a similar program out in rural LYSC. We've done our part to be innovative, to share resources with Anchorage School District, and provide a return on investment to stakeholders and the state of Alaska. We have three collective bargaining units that deserve raises to address the rampant inflation. And please make adequate education funding a priority for our kids and teachers. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jean. We will move now to Mike Bronson of the NAACP. Mike, it's great to hear from you. Can you please identify yourself today for the record and begin your presentation when you are ready?
Hi, I'm Mike Bronson. I'm speaking on behalf of the Education Committee of the Anchorage Branch of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. I'm a volunteer with the NAACP here in Anchorage, and to make it clear, I'm not related to the mayor. We appreciate the Senate Education Committee listening to us, and we're excited about your renewed interest in improving public school instruction. We're concerned because the instruction in Alaska public schools is leaving our children at the bottom of the barrel when it comes to reading and math performance. Part of that problem is large class sizes, which is something the legislature can fix. Here are some examples. If you projected ahead, as Anchorage School District has done recently, based on current state funding laws, you would see an increase in the Anchorage School District student-to-teacher ratio. The student-to-teacher ratio will increase from about 24 students per teacher to 37 students per teacher on average between the years 2019 and 2029 for teachers that are paid for by general funds under current laws. That's a 53% increase in the ratio of students to teacher on average over those 10 years. In Senator Tobin's voting district, for example, the Russian Jack School has already raised the number of its students per classroom teacher 35% since 2019 for teachers that are paid for by general funds. Ptarmigan School raised the number of students per classroom teacher by 42% since 2019. And the Fairview School's number of students per classroom teacher went up by 52% in the last 4 or 5 years. Now, while their classroom sizes were expanding like that, those schools' reading and math performances were falling to the bottom of the barrel at the same time. We're looking forward to the legislature turning that around and letting our neighborhood schools join the rest of the U.S. when it comes to reasonable class sizes and adequate instruction. Thank you again for listening.
Thank you, Mike. We will now hear from Trevor Storrs, the president and CEO of the Alaska Children's Trust. Trevor, if you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your presentation.
Absolutely. For the record, I'm Trevor Storrs, president and CEO of the Alaska Children's Trust. Thank you for this opportunity to testify today. I'm testifying in support of an increase to Alaska's BSA. You've heard from me many times, children make up 25% of Alaska's population, but they're 100% of our future. This future is not so bright when it comes to their education. Per Kids Count data, Alaska ranks 49th out of 50 states for education for a second year in a row. We must do everything we can to ensure Alaska's children grow up with the knowledge, skills, support, and resources to be the strong contributors to our collective success in our state. Without properly funded education, we will continue to see increases in job vacancies, state out migration, and overall costs to the state increase, all the while becoming less attractive to investors. Over the last 7 years, you've heard it, Alaska schools have received flat funding, resulting in a funding cut due to inflation. Funding education at a flat level from last year's budget results in an 8% decline in availability of funds or purchasing power compared to the previous budget because of that 8% rate of inflation over the past year. And that's not counting all the years before. The effect of flat funding, when coupled with rising inflation, has resulted in a loss of essential programs and school closures, as you have heard today. These impacts don't just hurt our children. They hurt our families and Alaska's future. Alaska is ranked 41st of 50 states in overall child well-being by Kids Count. We're continually in the lower half to the one-third. Education in schools play a significant role in preventing many of the physical, social, and behavioral ills that plague our state, like homelessness, crime, or substance misuse, and the list goes on. I encourage the Alaska legislature to make lasting and meaningful changes to the BSA. I encourage you to explore long-term solutions that include, at a minimum, a BSA that keeps pace with inflation. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you very much, Trevor. It was good to hear from you. We're going to move back here into the room. Elizabeth, I'm Sidden, thank you, from the Juneau School Board. Thank you for joining us today. If you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your presentation when you are ready.
Good afternoon, Chair and members of the Senate Education Committee. My name is Elizabeth Sidden, and I'm here today as a member of the Juneau School Board. And I'm with Juneau School District Middle School teacher Jessica Cobley. Ms. Cobley and I met in 2017. We were part of a local community partnership that formed to bring local STEM professionals, science, technology, engineering, and math, into Juneau classrooms to bring place-based, hands-on experiences to our Juneau students. And we had this shared vision, and it was called Southeast Exchange. It's still running today. I'm going to Zantikahini on Wednesday to do another classroom project. But today, we still have a shared vision for what education looks like in Juneau, but we find ourselves on opposite sides of an impasse between the district and the Juneau Teachers Union. And at the heart of that impasse is the funding situation from the state. It is due to continual years since 2017 of flat funding, and what that has meant for us with our hands tied to make budget cuts and make classrooms larger and larger. So today, if the Juneau School Board were to balance our projected $5 million deficit for next year using class sizes as our adjuster, that would mean Ms. Copley's classes right now of 25 pupil-teacher ratio would go to 36, and she can hopefully speak to painting a picture of what that looks like in reality. But I've been in her classroom. I've witnessed it. It's untenable. And so we're urging you to please consider an increase to the base student allocation of no less than 860 or the legislative finance value of 1086 for next school year. Thank you.
All right. Hi. So for the record, my name is Jess Cobley, and I'm a sixth grade math and science teacher. I've been here for 6 years teaching in Juneau. I didn't have time to prepare anything. I got the email last night and taught all day today. But I did want to talk about being on opposite sides of the union and the district. You know, we can't have both. We can't increase our teachers' pay and provide more healthcare contributions, and we can't do that at the same time as decreasing class sizes. Last year when COVID came back, my classroom was like, I think I had about 36 at the start of the year, and then I was up to 45 at the start of COVID, masked, trying to get kids 3 feet apart. And it was just, I mean, it was laughable. The kids were laughing. We had to get extra desks into my room, thinking that we're telling parents and we're telling our community that we're doing our best to keep kids safe. And then this year, our PTR is 25-1, so pupil-to-teacher ratio is 25-1. I think our community hears that and thinks class sizes of 25-1. In my science classes, that's 34-1. I don't have kindergartners. I can't imagine having as much as the woman who spoke before in that age group. But 10-year-olds, they're coming from elementary school to middle school and getting 34 kids to listen. Yvette came into my room. We were supposed to measure the length and width of a gummy bear and draw a picture of it. If you sat down with any kid right now, one-on-one or in a group of 5 or 10, you could probably do that in 10 minutes. It took our class an hour to get those simple tasks done. And so it's a huge disservice to our kiddos when we could like so easily see that they could learn so much more in a smaller group. We could address their social and emotional needs so much better if we had smaller groups. I would have time to check in with all of my kids. When one kid erupts and I have to go into the hallway with that kiddo and talk to them appropriately and not in front of a group, I'm not leaving 33 kids unattended in a room. I mean, it's just madness. And I guess my question for all of you is, for the legislators that feel that this is not something we need or that we can do without, I just hope you share with them that we are currently in crisis. As they said, we are 49th out of 50th or 50th out of 50th currently. I'm like surprised that the state has not been sued because we don't have enough resources to meet the students in our special needs programs. I think those are the things that are in your future if we don't find a solution now. And I hope that, ask the legislatures that don't believe it or don't see it, like invite them into my classroom, come with them, bring them in and just walk around and just pop your head. Like our band classes got 45 in a band room. Like it's crazy. And are we doing it? Are we doing our best? Yeah. Are kids learning and having fun? Yes. I don't know how much they can see it or feel it, but we appreciate everything that you're doing to continue pushing that message out of increasing the BSA. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you both. Any questions from Kitty? Thank you. Here in the room, we want to welcome Pat Race to provide testimony. Thank you for joining us. If you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your presentation when you are ready.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Pat Race. I live here in Juneau. I'm not here with any organization, just representing myself. I'm not an educator, but I have spent a lot of time in and around schools. I participate in the Artists in the Schools program here at Yakutsk-Tahiti and up on White Mountain, and do a lot of other programs. We bring artists in and have them come visit classrooms as much as possible. And I served on the Alaska State Council on the Arts for 6 years, and did a lot of education work there during that time. My concern is a little personal in nature. My sister is a teacher, and she got her start up in Sleep Mute on the Kuskokwim, and she is a great teacher. Over the years, I've had a chance to visit her classroom and see her do her work, and her kids love her, and she's wonderful, and it's hard work. And I, like 45 kids in a band class, I can't even imagine. But But I, you know, she is a teacher who gets paid well, and it's because she doesn't teach here in Alaska. And she wants to move to Alaska. She wants to come back where she grew up, and she wants to be a teacher here. She's a mid-career teacher. She's National Board Certified. Her husband's a teacher who's National Board Certified. Both of them want to move to Alaska, and they want to be teachers in Alaska. We have a problem hiring teachers in Alaska, but for them, we are not competitive. We don't have a competitive – we can't compete with the retirement benefits that they are getting in Washington, and then we can't compete with the pay that they're getting in Washington. And until we do, we're keeping teachers like that in arm's length, and we're relying on all kinds of other tricks and, you know, shenanigans to try and get someone to do really hard work for a year before they burn out. And that's not sustainable. It's not gonna. It's not good for the kids. It's not good for the system. It's not good for anyone. So, you know, I just would really like to see the retirement and benefits addressed, and I'd like to see the base student allocation raised. I talked on the steps of the Capitol here last Monday, and I said we should tie the BSA to the price of eggs. And I think that, you know, something along those lines is important. You know, people have mentioned inflation, and it's real. You know, you look around and things cost more. Things are harder to get, and we need to be able to provide the same level of education that we all got if we grew up here, you know, in these Juneau schools or in these Alaskan schools. And I just would like to see the next generation treated with some respect because they aren't here at the table and they don't get a chance to vote. And so we have to do that for them. We have to give them that opportunity. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. We're going to move back online, and I'm hopeful that Senator Bjorkman can help me with this last name. Nathan Erfer from the Kenai Peninsula Education Association. Nathan, if you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your presentation when you are ready.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, I am Nathan Erfer, President of the Kenai Peninsula Education Association. I come before you today following a presentation at the end of last week that highlighted the many positive things going on in our school district. It also covered some of the efforts our district is taking to mitigate damage from budget shortfalls. And while those are certainly wonderful, I must say that they are just a thin veil covering a major problem. We're not at risk of failing to meet our potential without a BSA increase. We're already there. We maintain the illusion that everything is going fine for the benefit of our students, but unfortunately, the facade is crumbling. Demands on the school system have increased every year, fixed costs have increased, and the BSA has not kept up. The number of aspiring educators nationwide is plummeting, which only exacerbates the challenges that we face when we are not able to offer competitive wages and benefits. Positions are going unfilled, services are going unrendered, buildings are going unrepaired, and programs like the one Sandy Ryan listed earlier, aptly as the reason we all went to school, will be evaporating in favor of the bare-bones approach that fits into the budget if we lose another 40 educators next year and don't hire to replace them. Those educators aren't line items. They're the people that create our students' opportunities. Outside agencies are not stepping up to fill in the gaps. Our students can see the contraction, and they see that their futures are worth less to us every year. I want to draw your attention to a few specific issues that our union has focused on in the last few weeks on the Kenai Peninsula. This morning, I opened a case file for a library that is partially displaced because of the amount of water coming in through the ceiling tiles. Despite the bond measure that passed last year, we have $420 million in deferred maintenance. We have a distance education program that is stretching far beyond their original scope to fill in gaps that have opened all over the place, and teachers are absorbing other classes as their colleagues leave. We've lost quality staff because they have been forced to choose their mental health over the job that they once loved. And by the conversations I've had in buildings over the last week, we're at risk of losing more. I have teachers in multiple buildings who are plunging toilets and vacuuming classrooms on their personal time because the district can't hire custodians at the rates they pay. We have secretaries that are also acting as nurses and performing duties well above their pay grade. The future of our state depends on public schools that take all students as they come and help them grow into young adults that they have the potential to be. Every year this goes unaddressed, students miss out on experiences and learning they won't get another chance for, and more educators succeed in finding another job that isn't so demoralizing, politicized, criticized, and micromanaged. I understand that there are many demands on the state budget, but the education of our students is a top priority and constitutional and ethical responsibility. And for those out there arguing that we should see better test results before we invest in education more, the last time your car came to a hill, did you hit the gas to get over it? Or did you bitterly refuse to give it more until it went faster up the hill all on its own? Let's get over the hill. The kids need us to take the wheel and drive. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your words today. We're going to move to Fairbanks to Mike Grunst. Mike, if you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your presentation when you are ready.
Good afternoon. Actually, I'm here in Anchorage. This is Mike Grunst with the University Area Community Council. My comments are my own and do not represent the Department of Defense or the Alaska National. I'm a graduate of the Anchorage School District and I have one child at Scenic Park Elementary and another at Begich Middle School. Both of my children are part of the Chinese Immersion Program and will be very sought after by various U.S. agencies and private industries. They will have an almost native speaker level of fluency and cultural awareness. And he's looking at me cross-eyed as he's working on his homework.
Mike, we're having a hard time hearing you. You're very faint. If you could speak closer to the microphone, we might be able to hear better.
I've seen the ramifications for flat funding education for the last several years. When the governor targeted the university system for extreme budget cuts, it started a chain of events that led to where we are now. 18 to 34-year-olds are leaving the state at record rates. Enrollment at schools in Anchorage is falling for the first time starting 2 to 3 years ago. And now Anchorage is down 5,000 students and needing to close schools. Frankly, I'm fine with closing schools, but I am not fine with losing programs. It's okay to increase efficiency, but not at the cost of hurting our future. When Texas went through similar economic turmoil of the late 70s and 80s, they focused on increasing funding to their state university system and their education system. And they are now a sought-after education system for not just U.S. students, but students from around the world. When the same kind of economic turmoil hit Alaska, we targeted education instead of investing in our future. Why would anyone want to move to Alaska if we can't even get our education system funded correctly? What is a draw for young professionals to move here? Why would our graduating high schoolers want to remain when they see how we are treating their education? Alaska needs to immediately do a comprehensive overhaul of the education system from pre-K to college, including trades. We need to make sure that our university system feeds the requirements that our schools, primary schools, need by being able to create teachers, speech therapists, maintenance workers, and administrators. Our primary schools need to be able to have a reliable budget so that they can effectively and efficiently deliver a quality education to Alaskans per our Constitution. As Alaskans, we need to decide whether we want to have a vibrant and thriving state or a dystopian hellscape. We need to invest in education and our future. If that means cutting the permanent fund or creating a tax, so be it. I understand that the permanent fund, aka universal basic income, disproportionately supports low-income and rural communities. We need to continue that. But as a parent of two students in the Anchorage School District, I'm fine with paying for the service we receive. I like having a competent police and firefighters. I like having potable water, parks, clean roads. I love having well-paid and certified teachers, educators, and support personnel. The Alaska Permanent Fund just spent $2 billion on checks to Alaskans, approximately $400 million of which immediately left the state to pay for.
Mike, if you could please wrap up your comments.
$2 billion could have fully funded education statewide. We are a community of 750.
Excuse me, Mike, if you're able to wrap up your comments.
Over to the bank. We can solve any problem we want to. We just don't. We just need to have the desire. This is the time.
Thank you, Mike. I apologize. Your time has elapsed. If you could please email your comments to senate.education@akleg.gov, we'd really appreciate it. I have noticed that we've been joined by two representatives, Representative Galvin and Representative Dybert. Thank you for joining us. We'll be moving on to Will Muldoon, the finance chair of the Juneau School Board. Will, if you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your presentation when you are ready. Will, are you there?
Finance chair. Look, can you hear me?
Yep, now we can hear you.
Okay, thank you. Once again, so thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Will Muldoon, and I currently serve on the Juneau School District Board of Education, where I am the finance chair. I've been listening to this throughout the last week or so, and I just wanted to index some of our numbers to what you've heard previously. Last week, I had heard Kenai discussing their one-time funding usage and what that means for the budget. And for Juno, we are projected to receive about $1.836 million, of which $1.806 is being used to fill deficits. And if here in Juno, we also fund to the local cap, which is also set via the BSA calculations. And so because of that, we would need an addition of about $643 to the base student allocation just for status quo budget. So as Dr. Sidden and Ms. Cobley had said earlier in testimony, you know, we've already got classes that are 35, 40 kids, and I really don't know what we do at this stage. And something that really complicates that is that our budget is due. We're set to pass March 18th of this year, and so we need to work with the best information we have at the time, and I'm scared. You know, I think that I appreciate everyone being optimistic and really making this a year, but, you know, we've really got to get the work on that. Thank you for your time and your consideration.
Thanks, Will. Moving on to Rachel Lord and Homer. Rachel, if you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your presentation when you are ready.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Rachel Lord, and I am a parent and down in Homer. And I have two kids, and I'm calling just as a private citizen. I'm a member of our parent-teacher organization and at one school and a member of our parent-teacher association at another school. And as you guys have been listening to, and I know you probably all are well aware, flat funding for BSA is a budget cut. It's an effective budget cut, and we really need, I'm calling to just lend my support for a significant increase in the BSA and to tie that in some way to inflation over time. The arguments surrounding return on investment for our education system are really I think at this time they're unfair and unreasonable given the actual lack of investment and the reduction in resources that Alaska has given to our public K-12 system for many years. So I have to get my kid to her violin lesson, which she has started violin through a kindergarten program with community partners. And that sort of leveraging of opportunity happens when our schools aren't operating on the brink, but are able to not only do basic arithmetic and writing, but also be supporting kids in a myriad of ways, which really helps to attract businesses to our state. It attracts state working families and people wanting to come and be here and invest in Alaska over time. So please, not only for my kids, but for kids across Alaska and for businesses across Alaska, please support an increase to the BSA and help us get onto an appropriate investment footing for our K-12 system as required by the Constitution. Thank you.
Thank you. We're going to stay in Homer, moving on to the Homer LIO. Alex Kaplan, if you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your presentation when you are ready.
Yes. Hi, if you can hear me. This is Alex. Good. This is Alex Kaplan in Homer. I can see you guys. That's good. Normally, I'm calling from home, but it's good to be at the LIO. The LIO is great, as you all know. This is Jerry Stevens' office, too. He's in it. Yeah. Thanks. You guys are hearing all this information. You have it. I represent myself. Had five kids go through the system in Homer. We can't wait another year. You can't, like, pull this. Okay, I can't say. My wife says you can't say should or whatever, but if we wait one more year to not increase the SBA, you hear all the testimony. I'm not going to highlight the testimony tonight because that's doing it. So, and we need the SBA can't be $800. At least that's what they're saying. And we're hearing it from experts. So $1,400, $1,500. I could get really mad if I paid taxes, but since I don't pay taxes, I can't get really mad. I wish I was a little bit more. The Senate priority, the Senate right now, you guys, thank you for what you're doing. We have a good group in the Senate. We have 17 people that want to work together to get things done. Difference of opinions, great. But you have three top priorities. I hope there's a paradigm shift in Juneau this year for this, these three your priorities, and they become the bench, whatever you're trying to do. Those are the only committee meetings that are meeting. So that paradigm shift where you're calling the plays because you have that ability. We don't need all these other bills right now. We have to work on the budget. We have to work on the PFD. Education, I can't believe why that man cut education when he was a superintendent. I worked in Homer 28 years, Seattle, Washington, 10 years. I've been out in the bush now the last three or four years. Every school is different. We have some unbelievable schools. When you go that ranking, 49 out of 50, that's not, however that comes up, it's not reflective of the schools here because they do so much, and there's so much that needs to be done. The teachers are awesome, and what they do give, there's no way they should be treated the way they are. They need a pension. They need a retirement fund. It's meaningful because if not, our infrastructure is going to die here in Alaska, and we're going to end up just – it's not going to be good because everybody that's sitting in these meetings today knows the importance of education, and I hope you prioritize that. That's all I'm going to say. Can't wait another year. Thank you for what you're doing. I appreciate the Senate right now, and best of luck.
Thank you very much, sir. We are now going to move on to Wasilla, to Antonia Leonere. I hope I said that correctly. Antonia, if you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your presentation when you are ready.
Yes, through the chair, this is Antonia Leonard, and I am currently here in Wasilla, living in Wasilla. I was raised in Juneau, and I too was born in Nome. I am just listening to all of the legislative session this year, and can you hear me?
We can.
Okay, good. I've just been listening to all the different committees and the House floor sessions, and it's pretty interesting. I avoided all of that my entire life intentionally. I grew up in a fairly political family, and I got to hear stuff, but I just stayed out of it and tried to ignore it. And it's where obviously we got a real big mess on our hands right now. And, you know, when we're talking about, you know, education, I'm conflicted myself because of course I do place value on education, being able to read, and write, and all of these things are really important for our kids. I wasn't one of the greatest products of the public education system. I didn't really enjoy my time in school. I went for the socializing part of it, and I can speak for being a parent of four kids that have gone through, well, one is still in school, three are all out of school now. One, I'm homeschooling. I've chosen to do that after COVID came and knocked on its doors, and I went back to Juneau for 1 year in the end of 2020, so I, you know, that school year. And I went back to Juneau to be near my older kids there. And because I wanted, I was going to put my son in a school, I wanted to put him into what I considered to be a little bit more of a homegrown feeling school where, you know, I know people and parents and, you know, kids are going to be safe. He'd be safe there. And, because when he was going to school here at the end of the year, when they let the kids go back to school, they locked the building down. They didn't let us go in the building. There was no access for parents whatsoever to the school. And that was really alarming to me. So I kind of went running to Juneau, and then I remembered why I don't really like Juneau. And so I have pulled back out to the Matsu. But I was going to enroll my son in Juneau school. And then I found out the week prior to school, you guys are going to have us all sitting at home with our kids on computers. And I thought, well, I'll just go ahead and homeschool them and get those funds, and we'll have our own schedule and we'll do things the way that we want to. I've continued to do that. And then I know that we get, as a homeschooling through the I'm Worth Galena School idea, we get $2,100 in the year to purchase curriculum and extracurricular, you know, activities and whatever kind of support. And it's a decent little amount of money. Then I'm listening to you guys and all these other different committees and talking, you know, the people bringing their presentations, and I heard something about $13,000 per student, you know, and I'm thinking, well, maybe if we want a different idea, maybe we can all, you know, maybe all the parents can get that $1,300 or $13,000 for their students.
Yeah, if you could wrap up your comments, please.
Yeah. Yeah. I only got about 2 minutes in. Anyways, $13,000 per student. If the family's got that, then they can go and hire a private tutor. I could do a lot more with $13,000 in one child. And if I was a family with five kids, you know, that's a lot. You could really pay.
Sorry, I apologize. Really well. Your time has elapsed in 3 minutes. If you could please wrap up your comments.
Okay. So just also for the record, other people talked for like 6 and 10 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you. We're going to move on to Alex Jeffrey in Fairbanks. Alex, if you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your presentation.
Yes, my name is Alex Jeffrey. I ran for state senate due to a number of corrupt groups in this town, one of whom is former chair you have now appointed as the principal of Arnaklack Elementary School. How dare you come before the people of this state and demand more money when you appoint someone to be a principal of a school who knowingly hired a child molester as a board member of a nonprofit that takes care of children? What kind of judgment does this show? More importantly, private schools educate children on far less than $13,000 a year. I'll tell you that much. The tuition in Monroe isn't even that much. The tuition at the SSPN schools all over the world is not that much. The other teachers you guys are bringing in, who are literally walking around in rainbow druid robes and behaving with utter impunity, brainwashing our children, this is ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jeffrey. We'll be moving on back to Anchorage. Rosalind Grady Witchie, I hope I'm saying that correct, Roz. If you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your presentation when you are ready.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, I am Rosalind Grady Witchie. I am the president of the Alaska Coalition of BIPOC Educators, and I am the member of the Education Committee for the NAACP here in Anchorage. I just want to say that we are in support of the increase when it comes to base student allocation. I am currently in my senior year at Grand Canyon University, getting ready to graduate in the fall with a dual degree in elementary education and special education K-12. I go to GSU, though, because I was unable to attend UAA, which is my own home college, when it comes to receiving an educator's bachelor's degree. And truthfully, I didn't find out about UAS until I was way into my program. On top of that, the barriers that are in place to become an educator, we really need to look at what is required to become an educator versus what it is to be an educator in the classroom and hopefully connect with DEED on these exams and looking at on-the-job training, especially when it comes to all of our paraprofessionals that may have degrees in place but cannot pass the exams that are required of us. Other challenges that we have faced, funding obviously, but another one is we are leaving children behind, but we're not leaving children behind, meaning we are pushing children through and applying pressure on them, asking for assessments after assessments, and not ourselves as educators when it comes to teaching the fundamentals necessary to be successful. The pacing guides that are put in place are extreme to the point that children are not able to retain what is necessary to learn the next steps, and again, to be successful, and we can talk more about that later. Another issue would be classroom sizes are too big. 20 plus kids in a room on the east side is ridiculous, especially when it comes to behavior problems, among other things. We need to get parents involved and understanding what parent involvement actually means. And another one is the quality of our educators. In my opinion, I feel like it is disappearing. We are losing accountability on educators and administration. Lastly, I appreciate school choice because I am also a homeschool parent on top of being a public school employee. But I do want people to keep in mind, there are parents that may not make the right choice. $13,000 sounds great for a family of five, but your child's education is more important. So when we think about school choice, we really need to make sure that we keep in mind all parents may not be like that last parent on the phone. Other than that, I appreciate you guys taking in this conversation. I can't wait to continue to have other conversations as well as my experience with five kids and being a parent and an employee here in Anchorage. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Rosalind. For our last person online, we have Micah Van Buskirk. I hope I am saying that correctly. Micah, if you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your presentation when you are ready.
Hello, my name is Micah Van Buskirk. Thank you for taking the time. I am a parent of a 10th grade and an 11th grade students here in Seward. And since my kids went to or started school in kindergarten in Seward, and I've lived here for 26 years, I've paid very close attention to the budgets and how it all worked. And I have watched as health insurance costs and just costs in general increase, we've lost teachers in our small town. Seward is very small. We have one elementary school, one middle school, and one high school, and we have small numbers and small numbers of teachers. Every year about this time, we're told that we're going to lose multiple teachers out of our schools based on budget information that comes forward. That creates huge uncertainty and devastation for our schools because we're so small. Even the loss of one teacher means the loss of huge numbers of electives and opportunities for our kids. As examples, my kids in elementary school, multiple times, because our budget has to be approved in April, but the state's budget isn't finalized until May or sometimes even later, we've lost. My daughter didn't know if she was going to have a fourth or fifth grade teacher until August. We've lost multiple valuable teachers due to the uncertainty. They just don't know, so they have to go and get a job somewhere else. So they've left our town. When we are able to hire, because we've been given one-time funding so many times, often we're told in May or June we can fill these positions. We're not able to fill them with high-quality teachers or individuals because the hiring season, which is back in March and April, has passed. So we end up with teachers who don't stay and are not the best of the best, which is what we want for our kids. Our elementary school has lost in the years that I've been paying close attention. We've lost music. We've lost a librarian. We've lost art from our elementary school. We've had to combine classes. The kids are in larger classes. Our middle school has lost music and drama and considerable numbers of electives. Our high school has lost music and drama and significant numbers of electives. We have very minimal electives. And if we're looking every year, we are looking at more electives lost. So I'm asking that this year the BSA is increased, not one-time funding, so that it's something that we can count on, that our school district can give us the funding, give us the comfort in January, February. Contracts can go out in a reasonable time. Positions can be filled and hired with high-quality individuals, and our quality teachers that are here don't have to search in April and May for positions elsewhere because of the uncertainty. I also think if there was a way to forward fund education in the same way that the ferry system was forward funded.
If you could please wrap up your comments.
Forward funding education, even if there were a budget cut, we could manage it if we knew in advance. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We are going to move back here into the room. We have four remaining testifiers. However, we're getting very close to the top of the hour, so I apologize deeply if we're unable to get to you. I know that it's difficult to show up and not have an opportunity to testify. The next up is Summer Coaster from here in Juneau.
Thank you for having me.
If you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your presentation when you are ready.
Yeah, my name is Summer Custer, and I am a teacher in the Juneau School District, a parent, a writer, and a freelance journalist. Thanks. When I was hired to teach Spanish, I was told I would have to advocate for my job, and they were right. Every year, I was told I'd probably be cut, and every year, I wrote letters, wore red, thank you to those of you who are wearing red, and showed up to testify. Eventually, the Spanish program was cut, and I no longer advocate for my job. Instead, I advocate for my son, who is entering middle school next year. He won't learn Spanish, but he will be in classes of 40+. He will take his first music class, along with musicians who have played for years, all lumped together into one big class because there are no other classes for him to choose from. I advocate for my daughter, who has autism and whose spec ed liaison is spread between two schools and can't give her the supports she needs. My daughter loves art and music, but her school can't afford a certified art or music teacher. I advocate for my colleagues, because I still teach Spanish at a different school,
two of whom were assaulted by students because there wasn't enough staff to fulfill the required student-to-teacher ratio. Why? No one wants to take on that kind of job without a pension and mediocre wages, and one out of every five teachers in Alaska leaves the profession within the year. It costs the state less than $6,000 to educate a kid in Alaska and $38,000 to incarcerate an adult. Graduating more kids, we know, reduces the prison population. Also, let's consider the multiplier effect. Teachers spend more money in their communities than the folks employed in the oil sector. To quote Brian Holst, the executive director of the Economic Council in Juneau, Alaska ranks 49th in education, 49th in high school graduation, and number one in fiscal stability. We have resources. We've already forward funded fiscal year 24, so let's fund what matters. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next, we have Lisa Lagerquist. Thank you. I might have to ask for an assist on the remaining names. Please identify yourself for the record and begin your presentation when you are ready.
Hi, I am Lisa Egan Lagerquist, and I am here to testify in support for increased BSA funding. I am a former Juneau teacher, having taught here from 2000 to 2003. And I am one of those teachers everyone who has been talking about who came here to teach. I loved teaching. I loved every part of it, and it was just too big of a job. I switched careers, and about 5 years ago, my dream teaching job came open again. And I really wanted to take it. I really did, and I feel like teaching is my calling. But I couldn't, because my career I have now pays more. It has better benefits, and I have two kids that I want to see. Teaching is really hard. It takes a lot of time to be a good teacher, and our kids deserve that. With flat funding, we all know it's less funding. We're asking our teachers to do more. We're paying them less. It's not right. Summer just gave an amazing testimony, and I just want to basically say, yeah, what she said. So I, too, have two kids in the school district. One of them, there hasn't been a para to fill the position, and he needs a para. The other one, they're getting less. So in short, I want to give other people a chance. Alaska has money. We need to give it. We give money away to each Alaskan. We're a rich state. We can make education a priority, and we should do it. Our families and our students deserve it. Thank you.
Thank you. Next up, we have Cheyenne Kuehler. If you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your presentation when you are ready.
Hi, my name is Cheyenne Kuehler, and I'm a teacher at Zantagahini Middle School here in Juneau. This is my 12th year of teaching in the Juneau School District. I want to focus my testimony this evening on the need for an increase to the BSA of at least $1,300 so that districts can hire and retain support staff. I ask you to consider your jobs as legislators and the reliance you have on your support personnel in this building, from staffers to pages to the security guards, janitors, and IT staff who all make it possible for you to do your job. Our schools and teachers require the same. As any teacher will quickly admit, we cannot provide an excellent education without excellent support staff. In a fully funded education system, I would have at least one paraeducator in all of my classes to support students with learning disabilities. I do not have that now. There are currently five open para positions in my building. Just as districts are struggling to hire and retain teachers, districts are not able to offer a competitive wage to hire and retain paraprofessionals. In a fully funded education system, our schools would return to fully staffed offices in the janitorial departments. In the past 10 years, my school has gone from 7 office staff to 4, and the number of janitors has decreased from 4.5 to 2.5. What isn't always realized is office staff and janitors are instrumental in reducing student behavior problems. A large portion of behavior and bullying happens in the bathrooms and hallways where teachers can't always be. Office staff and janitors are the extra adult presence needed in those areas to keep middle school students' behaviors in check. And we know that when bullying and negative student behaviors decrease, students feel safer at school and student learning increases. A fully funded education system would have truancy officers and social workers to help students get to and stay in school. When I first began in our school district, there was a truancy officer who focused on getting those chronically absent students back in school. That position was cut years ago, and we are noticing it. Across our district, we have a high rate of chronically absent students, but no truancy officer to make the house visits that can help get those students back into attending school. As school districts have struggled to figure out where to make cuts during these years of flat funding, many of the cuts have come from support staff positions, and we are feeling it, and it is affecting our students' education. We need a BSA increase of at least $1,300 to match the rise of inflation that has occurred in the past 10 years so that schools can have the support staff needed to provide an excellent education. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We have one last testifier, if my committee will permit me to allow them to come up. Emily Ferry, if you'll please come up and join us. Identify yourself for the record and begin your presentation.
Thank you very much. My name is Emily Ferry. I live at 836 Calhoun Avenue. I'm here tonight with my son, Elias. He's in the back of the room. He's a freshman at Juno Douglas Yada Apkale High School. I work with the Association of School Boards, and in my day job, I take a look at a lot of state data that shows us not doing well as a state, and it's really, really concerning to me. But I also see really shining moments in Alaska where when we invest, we see better outcomes. And I invite anyone to give our office a call, and I'll walk you through that data and those programs that are really making a difference for our students. I'm here tonight, though, to talk as a parent. And Elias and I were talking on our way here tonight about school. He said it was a little bit boring today. And I said, yeah, you don't have CAD this semester. He said, yeah, that was my favorite class. I loved it. He had an amazing CAD teacher who left one quarter into the year for a much, much higher paying job. He could be taking CAD 2 right now, but he doesn't have a guidance counselor or advisor that's saying, hey, this isn't interested for you. Like, here's the next course. Here's how you can enroll in this dual credit class, right? So as Cheyenne was saying, those support staff folks that maybe aren't classroom teachers are so critical for helping our students make it to the next step. Elias and his siblings have had a chance to go to the Montessori Borealis Public School here in Juneau. And I chose that school because I saw that they really worked towards workforce development at first grade. They learned how to make a work plan. They learned how to collaborate. They learned those 21st century skills that we want to see in our workforce. And I thought, gosh, if you can do that in first grade, like, you are going to be set. These are the types of schools and programs that I feel really proud of here in Alaska. But I know that the Juneau School District, if they don't have a BSA increase this year, may have to cut 40 to 50 teachers. That could be that whole school. That could be a decision that is made this year to wipe out that school. And so instead of taking these programs that work and make a difference and help create a future-ready Alaska, we'll be putting them on the chopping block. So in closing, I support every Alaskan contributing to our future and investing in our student. And I'd be willing, as a citizen of Alaska, to put my money where my mouth is. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Well, with that, we can conclude today's public testimony. You can still send your written comments to senate.education@akleg.gov. We will continue public testimony on Wednesday. With that, I'm going to actually conclude our meeting today here at 5:04 p.m.